You're listening to a CNA podcast.
Greetings, everyone. Crispina here, and you're tuned into another episode of the Work It podcast.
And I'm Adrian, ready to dive into a crucial topic today: workplace stress, something that all of us experience at least once in our career. Crispina, have you had a workplace stress moment that may trigger PTSD when you think back to it?
Okay, for me, I have to admit that I don't have like one big event where I was breaking down and I was crying. I think that only happened when my second child was a tantrum-throwing devil. But at work, for me, stress is cyclical. That means if I have a new launch, for example, or a big project that I have to deliver on, then I start feeling the effects of stress. And for me, it manifests itself in not being able to sleep. But then now, not being able to sleep sounds like kind of normal.
Yeah, kind of normal. Nowadays, people don't even want to sleep. They'd rather catch Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. So what about you, Adrian?
The worst moment in my life related to stress was when I was at the tail end of my first business. I was dealing with a political partner. I was dealing with bad businesses, all compounded together to the effect where I try not to fall asleep at night, knowing that next day I will face the same thing again. And I would usually wake up in cold sweat. That was really, really bad. And I was drinking too much. I was smoking too much. It was the compounding effect was really, really bad.
Yeah. I was looking at some of the statistics, and workplace stress has been reported to cause something like 120,000 deaths in the US.
Wow, that's a lot.
We normally think stress is part and parcel of life, right? But I think there might be something more to it, and that's what we want to discuss today. So our guest to talk us through this is Camilla Dahl Hansen, Chief Experience Officer at Saxo, and we'll be exploring the nuances of navigating stress in the professional arena. Hi, Camilla. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you.
So, Camilla, for a start, can you share with the audience a bit about your background?
Yeah, I started out my career in a consultancy. So I have, that was the first time where I was also exposed to a lot of work, right?
Yeah.
A lot of different time zones, a lot of project work. So that was where I started up. And then I went into the advertising industry. And then
equally bad.
Equally bad, right? Maybe. But it was also truly inspiring. And then I have been working in finance 17 years. So in different leadership positions and also different kinds of finance, from the more traditional corporate now in more fintech and the more cool tech part.
Yes. But all very challenging industries, right? I know young people who are in consultancy and they tell me that the workload is pretty heavy.
It is a lot of hours, right? But what is positive, because the first time I really experienced stress was actually when I transitioned from being working with projects, working in consultancy at advertising industry, to actually have a corporate job, because I didn't have this period of, okay, I have a project to deliver, I had a specific deadline. Then I just realized, oh God, this will just continue, right? So that was actually what was stressing me, was like, before I had been working in an environment where there was natural breaks, or and not really breaks, but natural periods where there, it was not that busy, right? And suddenly coming into life where I had to navigate it, right? It was simply myself needing to be in charge of how much time should I spend? When should I let go? When should I not check my emails? You know, so that was, for me, actually an experience, right?
So when I read the email about you, the thing that stood out for me was that this line that was said, that you were sent home for 3 weeks due to stress. Okay, so then the journalist in me is wondering, okay, that's a story in here. Tell us what happened.
So it happened, as just said, when I went into the corporate life, I had a responsibility for a lot of different countries. So I have to navigate, there was a time zone difference, but it was also just, you know, it was unclarity on also what I should expect from myself and what was expected in the role. So I tried to navigate a lot of uncertainty, and especially uncertainty with myself and my own expectations to what I wanted to deliver, right? The good thing about that experience was that I had a really, really good leader that saw, before I burned out, he actually saw that this was, I was transitioning into something that, which was not healthy, right? He could see I was sending emails all around 24 hours. So he was actually really good at saying, hey, this is not healthy. You need to take a break.
Wow.
So I think that was really, really positive, right? Yeah. And I think that's what we all should learn from, looking at our colleagues and our people that we engage in and see these signs and then act upon it.
Were you experiencing any changes in the way you behave, in the way you interact during those tail end moment to this whole thing before your boss feels that something is really wrong?
I could see I'm actually not impacted from a sleep perspective. I'm a good sleeper, so it really helps me limiting the stress factor, right?
Yeah.
But I could see that I get more impatient, right? When people were asking me things, I was like, just take a decision, move on. So I actually get impatient. So it's also a barometer for me that I'm navigating when I sense that, okay, now I'm really getting impatient, I'm not listening anymore. That's a sign of me to step back and breathe.
I was just going to say that boss who was noticing and was observant about your behavior is a very good thing. Mm. And sometimes not possible, because in my experience, it could be the boss who is sending emails at 3 a.m. And people start wondering, should I respond? Like, how soon do you want this to respond? Some of them can manage this and they'll say, look, I can't sleep. I have this idea, so I just have to send it out. You know, you don't have to respond, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it comes from the boss, right?
Yeah.
So in many instances, of course, you may not have the luxury of such an observant boss. So in hindsight, going through the experience, how do you recognize the signs that you're reaching breaking point for yourself?
I'm very aware of it, right? And I think that experience early in my career actually helped me to be aware of it. So since then, I actually think I'm in a good position to feel it's coming, right? So I'm trying to listen to myself in, as I just mentioned, the part of being impatient and not listening. That's a sign for me. So that's normally the strongest sign, right? And also when I come home and don't have the capacity to talk with my kids, right? That's also a sign. And then I have good friends around me that is also good at mentioning it. So I really, really try to navigate. I have a lot of attention points towards it. And then I simply try to, over the weekend, not interact with anything, but actually try to find some energy and just staying away, right?
Yeah. So what do you do now to make sure that you manage this, right? Do you tell yourself, okay, I need to cut off work at 6 o'clock and that's it. I'm going to spend time with my kids. And that, or there's a no disturb zone, or how do you manage this?
I'm actually quite flexible. So I don't have these rules. It's not working for me to have these rules. So I'm trying. Some days I can just feel that, okay, tonight I simply need to close down. No emails. I'll not take any phone calls. I'll just put my phone away, right?
Yes.
So I have some nights where I just know coming home, that this has been a long day, I'm tired, I need to let go, right? Yeah. So I'm allowing myself to be very flexible, because that works better for me to have these. Sometimes I have specific rules and other times not, right? So I think there's two factors, right? There's the personal thing where you really need to be able to listen to yourself. So don't come in a phase where you have just forgotten to listen to anything, right? So you need to do before you enter that phase, because then it's gone, right? Then it's difficult. You need to be aware of the mechanism. And then also make sure you ever are in a workplace where you can actually talk about these things. So I think also be open about it, exactly as we're doing now, talking about it. I think that's super important. So it's not become a normal thing and everybody think everybody should be stressed out or burned out. I don't believe in that. I think it's important that we don't come into these kind of zones in our life. So we need to talk about it.
I think you have great discipline, because I need my wife to grab my phone and run away so that I won't have to check my phone constantly. I just can't deal with open loops that easily. Yeah, but I think that is something definitely for people to consider. And I just want to understand as well, right now, for the younger generation, it is really very trying for them to navigate this very different world. At least it's different from the one that I grew up in, where there's hybrid world. We have people who go into the workforce and first day, everything is on Zoom. Everything is remote. They don't know how to deal with their colleagues. They do not know what's the expectation. So it's really common for them to manage very heavy workload. How do you deal with such a group of people, and what's your advice for them in managing the heavy load at work in this hybrid environment?
I'm a parent. I have three girls, right? So I've tried to be a role model at home, right? Mm-hmm. I actually think it starts from how we interact on social media as kids. My kids are obviously very heavily impacted by social media and being on, and friends are calling or chatting all the time, right? So I think it's a matter of already then being a role model and show them that you need to let go of your phone and not being present all the time, right? Mm. And that's okay to be that, right? So I think it actually starts in a really, really young age. So when you come into the workplace, that you actually have some good habits of you knowing how to navigate that, right?
Yeah.
And then I think it is about making sure that you are clear as a leader on your expectations. Even though I'm sending email late at night, I don't expect you to do it. You might have employees that still think, okay, she really means this, but then repeat it and stay true to it, right? Mm. That you don't expect it. So I think it's very much about navigating and manage expectation as a leader. Be very clear about how you work and what you expect, and then show it, most importantly, right? Yeah. Show that you can actually also so do it yourself and be a role model, right? Yeah. And then sometimes remember, I know some of my employees are also saying, it's super nice to hear that you Friday afternoon are saying, I have to leave early because I have to spend time with my kids.
Yeah.
So also remember as role model to speak up when you are actually off or when you do something that is not work related.
Right,
so they also see that senior leaders are also able sometimes to not be present.
Right? I think in Singapore especially, we have a big problem saying that we are on a downtime.
Mm.
We have a big problem saying, okay, you know what? I'm taking the Friday off because my kid is performing in a concert. We never do that.
No, and I think that's important. But I also can see in the statistics that you are also very exposed to stress in Singapore, right? A lot
Terribly.
Of people do feel stressed or burnout, right? And I think we are in that lucky situation where I'm grown up in Denmark, right? That we are actually having a lot of focus on flexibility and mental health, right? It doesn't mean that we don't have a lot of also people that are hit by stress. It's also increasing the numbers, right? But I think the ability to talk about it and be aware and also get help when you need it.
Yeah.
That's important.
Exactly. You're right about leaders setting a good example, not to show that you are superhuman and then you can handle all of this stuff, to be genuine about talking about it.
I think so. But it all comes down to one thing is leaders, right? And you pick the right workplace, so to speak. But then another thing is you need to stay confident in yourself. And I think that's the biggest challenge, that you as a person needs to also believe, stay true to your own value and way of living, right?
Right.
And I think that's often the hardest part, because you get so much impact by other people and
what
is the expectations here, right? So I really think once in a while it's healthy to stop up and just reflect a bit. Is this okay? Is this okay for me?
Yeah.
Is it actually how I wanted to live my life?
Yeah.
So do these reflections, right?
Yeah.
And then be bold enough also to
be brave enough to say, maybe, you know what? I've got this great banking job, but it's killing me.
Yes. Exactly. I think that is super, super important, right?
Yeah.
So we need to embrace change. Of course, there's a lot of changes in the world, and we are living also geopolitical uncertainty. There's a lot of things that are impacting us, right?
Yeah.
But it should not be an excuse for not taking our own responsibility for ourselves, right?
Yeah.
I was reading a comic strip earlier today, and it's about these two colleagues, one of them telling the other one, hey, there's a new job, great job with good perks and great pay at this other company. Why don't you go and apply? The other colleague said, no, I have something even better here. What's that? Peace of mind. So I think sometimes we also have to look at the broader picture. It's not just money, which of course come with hours, extensive work, traveling, this and that. It of course depends very much on the individual. If you're the type A personality, wake up at 4, go running at 5, probably it's okay for you.
Yeah, so I wanted to come back to that, right? There are people who handle stress maybe a little bit better, or you think they're just masking it better.
I think there's people that handle this better. Yeah. And I think it comes down to having some self-confidence and maybe being grown up by also believing that you need to trust yourself. And so I think it's very...
So it takes time.
It takes time, but it also takes courage to say no and yes and reflect upon that, right? So I think the best gift that we can give our kids is actually to know that you always have the ability to speak up, right? And I think that's something that I'm very much out of that belief, that you can do everything in life as long as you stay true to yourself, right?
Yeah.
And it's so easy to say, and it sounds so fantastic if you're able to do it, but I think if you really practice throughout life and you have moments where you succeed doing that, it also gives you even more comfort to continue down that road, right?
Yeah, I think that's a big work in progress for us in Singapore, because we have a very predetermined idea of what is success. Mm. And once we attain that, so for example, if you get to a really big firm or big a top law firm or banking, etc., the pressure to keep up and to maintain that, because you work so hard your entire life. In Singapore, you start working at 6 years old, right?
Yep.
Because of the education system. Yes. You go into this existential crisis about letting go. Mm. And so maybe that manifests itself in the mental health issues that we're facing among young people, especially.
Yeah. Mm. And I also think it's okay to be ambitious, right? I have also been very ambitious in my career and worked hard and want to show result. I'm a very competitive person, right? Mm. So I have all the ingredients to do that. So I also think we need to differ between when I actually have decided that it's okay to work hard or work for long hours and accept that, okay, I might have some nights where it's harder to sleep or I get a few hours, but it's actually okay, right?
Yeah.
So also I think we need to find the balance about what it actually means to be stressed and burned out, right? Because it's also really good to work in these environments where you get a lot of energy from a lot of exciting work, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So I think we also need to be better at seeing, you know, okay, I picked this for myself. I actually are truly passionate about that and get the best out of it, right? And of course, if it's not working overtime, then we need to change, right? Mm. But I also think we need to embrace it and say, okay, I've actually made up my mind. I want to do this. I want to show results. It comes with a price.
Yes. Mm.
And I think that's also something that we sometimes need to reflect upon. And it's difficult to do both, right? It's difficult to just want to have a long career where you're very successful without it not paying anything, right?
Oh,
so it takes effort,
such
right?
An important point.
Yeah. That's just important that we all evaluate how much is it worth it? Is it too much for me? Should I lower my expectation? And that you navigate that.
Yeah, I agree. Remember the Google head was when we were asking him, you have some sacrifices to make, right? Mm. And so he says, yeah, you got to put in the hard yards. And so if you're young, we always say it's easier to put in the hard yards.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it comes with a price, right? It comes with something. I'm not seeing my friends to the great extent I would love to, right?
Oh,
I prioritize work and then my family and that's it, right?
Yeah.
And it comes with a cost, right? And then there's other periods of life. I very much believe in that we also have different phases in life, right?
Mm.
Say, then in this 10 years, I will truly invest in my career and then it might be different later, right?
Yeah.
So also think that's something to... You know, how do we navigate these different transitions?
I guess ultimately it depends on what you're optimizing for at different phases in life.
Yeah.
But I do agree, when I was younger, it's so much easier to just brute force your way through, put in more hours, end work at 11, next day wake up the same time. But nowadaches, wow, the whole body ache.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And that's also why for me, it's super important to have some pleasure in the dates throughout at night or in the weekend. So you're not waiting for the next vacation or in 5 years this will happen, right? I can't work like that. So I think for me, it's also the older I get, the more I actually need to make sure that I have some breaks in between where I can have a Saturday where I really enjoy it and don't think about it. So
yeah. Yes, this involves flying to KL over the weekend.
Yes.
Even if you've got lots to do. Yeah. Yeah, I do agree that taking regular breaks. I think bottom line is you need to know who you are. Mm. And how you respond to stress. No two people do it the same way, right? Okay, as a matter of wrapping, I just want to check with you. One of the things I think in your CV that I found was interesting was you felt that mentorship was very important in a person's career. Mm. Have you had good mentors? And what was the best kind of advice that you got navigating this long, successful career?
Mm. I have had very good mentors in life. So, and it's changing. For me, it has been changing mentors. So very much depend on where
you are,
where I am in my career. It's different mentorships. My biggest takeaway have actually been the fact of being true to yourself, right? And that's also why I have had the philosophy of being your own role model, right? Of course, I want to be role model for others and actually pave the way, but also take then responsibility and see and say, how do I want to act? Mm. And I think that has been one of my biggest learning. And I remember one of my mentors was also telling me at some point where I was looking into a career opportunity, I said, but I can never, you know, it's not for me. I'm lacking, it's typical a female thing, I think this one, but I'm lacking some skill set here. And this part, I don't know that much about. My mentor was also saying, hey, you don't need to look at the person that is in that position right now.
Mm.
You need to think, what can I contribute with and not compare yourself with the other person next to you that is actually having that position.
Yeah,
so I think that for me have been a really good learning, that even though you look at people and say, okay, if I need to be a CEO like this, I need to behave exactly like the guy I'm looking at right now. No, you actually can do it in your own way.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And I think that was the best advice for me, not to compare yourself with how others are doing it, but believe that what I bring might be different, but I'm sure I can succeed with that, right?
Yeah.
When I'm mentors for some of my employees or previously employees, that I'm actually inspire them also say, don't compare yourself all the time, right? Because you can always find somebody that are smarter, faster, work harder, right?
But long line of
exactly,
people.
Exactly, right? And then remember, everybody's looking at you and you're thinking the same, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's important.
That's
don't compare yourself too much, right? Because you will never win that game.
Yeah, you will never win that game. It's so hard to do in Singapore. Comparison is a real competitive sport here.
Yeah, especially with social media. Everyone's comparing with each other and everyone's depressed.
Yes. That's the
get off social media.
Yes.
But it's easier to do, I mean, kids will never get off social media.
No.
They live in it.
They do.
Anything else to add, Adrian?
I think maybe just a final bit on any tactical advice for people who may want to start managing their own stress. I know you mentioned some bit about stop checking your handphone at certain hours. What about things that are a bit more intentional, like meditation, breathing exercises? Have you tried those? Would you encourage others to try those stuff?
I have tried, breathing techniques, meditation, and I'm doing it once in a while, right? But I have to admit, I'm not that consistent in these things. I would love to be, right? What works for me is that go for a long walk, right? Be alone, be out in the nature.
I find that to be very useful as well.
Yes,
so that what works best for me is simply to leave everybody, not interact, not talk, but find a good place where it gives you energy. For me, it's the nature. It's walking in the nature without any people around me. It could be different things. But find a sweet spot where you actually know that here I actually can lean in, be myself, and get some energy, right?
I can't do meditation either. 5 minutes in and I'm thinking about a to-do list.
But if you practice, I think it is very, it's super good.
It's a whole cottage industry with that. And yes, that's a good goal plan.
So as we wrap up this insightful episode on managing workplace stress, we want to extend our gratitude to Camilla for sharing her experiences and wisdom. I think this episode is really a good reminder of the kind of stress that everyone is facing. Everyone has their own demon that they have to fight, but a lot of times we just take it as a given and just continue our way of life. But if you're a bit more intentional, you can be more observant, maybe you can detect some of your breaking point and try to prevent going through that whole cycle and be the next person to be sent home for 3 weeks.
My takeaway is that the reality is that we live in a society. I mean, I can't choose. Well, I can choose to work somewhere else, but I am in Singapore and it's a very, very competitive society. It is what it is. But I can, like you say, choose to know exactly what my trigger points are. Mm. Not wait for my boss to say, hey, is something okay? Is something wrong?
Your boss may not see.
Your boss may not care.
Yeah.
It's not that they're bad people or anything, but they have 101 things to worry about.
They have their own stress to deal with.
And they have their own stress and they're outcome-based, right? So I feel very strongly that, especially for the young people who always tell me that they can't handle and their work-life balance is out of whack, is to really center yourself and ask yourself these key questions. What is it that I'm doing? Am I adding value? Is this making me happy? And then decide, okay, if it's not, there's a line. And then I have to do something about it. So that's my takeaway talking to Camilla.
And that's also why you need to identify your true passion points, right? Because I believe if you find something that you are truly passionate about and find energy in, you're actually able to feel also, where do I need to say yes and no to things, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's very important, right, throughout life, that you also trust yourself to actually find that sweet spot where you know you can perform and be a good person.
Yeah.
And
even if you're a lawyer and you're working all these like terrible hours, do something that makes you happy, like dance to a Taylor Swift song.
Yeah. I read somewhere dancing is actually the best way to relieve stress.
Okay.
So let's try that.
Let's try that.
So big shout out to the CNA podcast team for making this episode happen. Until next week, take care of yourself and remember, it's okay to prioritize your well-being. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.